This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I only speak publicly because people make me. I'm a little guy, man. You know what I'm saying? So I don't try to get a following. I don't try to make people, you know, watch me, look at me. You know, I used to play basketball.
I'm feeling bad now. Maybe I should end my YouTube channel. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome back to That Canadian Brother. I'm Sadat, and I'm here with a very special guest, which is Imam Siraj Wahaj from Brooklyn, New York. I would say at least all the Muslims above the age of 20 or above the age of 25, with all due respect, everyone knows who Imam Siraj Wahaj is. As Sidi Arif was mentioning, there was a time in the 90s when we didn't have big conferences here, and we'd take a caravan of cars, you know, university Muslim students. We'd go to Kansas City, Chicago, wherever Islam was happening.
I remember that.
Yes, always you were the featured speaker that we were looking forward to.
Just one of the guys.
Alhamdulillah. So, Imam, I've been watching your videos on YouTube. There's so many different issues and topics that you've covered. And I thought, if I catch Imam Siraj, how can I do something a little bit different, a little bit offbeat that hasn't been done already? Right. So I did tell you about the word association game.
Yes.
And the rules are, you know, you can pass if you really need to, but a 1 to 2 word answer would be appropriate,
okay,
perhaps. Coffee.
Airplanes. I know. See? You're shocked. You have no idea the association. So when I say airplane, you're like, what are you talking about? Coffee? Airplane? What?
There's a logic behind it.
Yeah.
Can I hear it?
Yes, please. Yeah. Is that the only time that you drink coffee, perhaps? Yeah.
There was a time, that's the only time I drank coffee. Okay. I never drank coffee in my house. But I went on a plane, and I think one of the first times outside of my house, I drank coffee on the plane.
For me, it would be airplanes and V8. You know the vegetable V8 drink that they give?
Oh, yeah.
White.
Black.
Okay, that was an easy one, yeah. America.
Home.
Canada.
Second home.
Very nice. Brooklyn.
Home. I'm sorry.
Toronto.
Very beautiful place.
YouTube.
A lot of information.
Farrakhan.
Complex.
Alcohol.
Tremendous problem.
Islamic conventions.
Wonderful.
Sheikh Ahmed Didat.
That's my man, my buddy, my mentor. Great, wonderful.
You shouldn't have used all those words up, because the next one you might want to recycle, Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Great and wonderful.
Books.
Love them.
Movies.
Interesting.
Computers.
Useful.
Imam Siraj Wahaj.
A regular guy.
Okay, so Imam Siraj, I've always had a bit of an interest in the history of Nation of Islam and in the story of American Muslims. And there's already lectures of yours already that have been uploaded to YouTube, previous lectures in which you've talked about the transition from Nation of Islam for yourself to the more mainstream Sunni Islam. But in all the books that I've read and online internet searching and stuff, I've never been able to find a photograph of this mystery man named Jeffrey 12X.
Right.
Just to fill the viewers in, Jeffrey 12X was the name that Imam Siraj Wahaj used in his years during the Nation of Islam.
Right.
So we have pictures of Louis Walcott, is it?
Walcott,
right. That's right. Louis Farrakhan.
Right.
We have pictures of Malcolm Little.
Right.
We even have photos of Master Fard Muhammad.
Right.
And not to compare, but we have photos of Houdini. We have photos of Rasputin.
Right.
But this Jeffrey 12X, we don't have any photographs of.
Really?
So would
there
you?
There are many of them.
Is that right?
Yeah, of course. I'll get them to you. Do you know what Jeffrey 12X meant?
I understand the X representing the unknown. And I think 12X is because apparently there would have been 11 previous Jeffreys who already used the name Jeffrey X.
Only in New York. That's how it happened. So I was Jeffrey 12X, which meant Jeffrey 12X Kiris was my what we call slave name.
Okay.
That means I was the 12th Jeffrey in New York City to join the Nation of Islam. There may be another Jeffrey 12X in Chicago.
Oh.
Jeffrey 12X and whatever their last name. So Malcolm X was the first Malcolm in Detroit who joined the Nation of Islam.
Oh, I see.
And then after him was Malcolm 2X and 3X.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't. So how would they make a distinction between Malcolm 2X in Detroit and
the
Malcolm 2X,
the last name?
Okay,
so they would say Jeffrey 12X Kearse.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Another question, I don't think anyone's dug into it, at least I haven't seen you discussing it in the interviews, is this legendary epic debate that everyone knows about, especially from my generation, Sheikh Ahmed Didat, Rahimahullah, and Jimmy Swaggart.
That was the debate of the century.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you can imagine how many da'is and Muslim debaters and Muslim apologists, even who are active on the internet that I've spoken to, when you ask them what got you interested into debating or into Muslim-Christian dialogue or debate, so many of them will reference that debate.
Absolutely.
Ahmed Didat and Jimmy Swaggart. And again, for the younger viewers, I think they don't understand how big Jimmy Swaggart was, because now he's just some guy that comes on TV at 3 a.m.
The
nighttime.
Right.
But in the 80s, I mean,
he was the man.
Joel Osteen, maybe, or Benny Hinn, or something like this.
Bigger.
So this was like a big catch. And you know, unfortunately, we'll never be able to ask in this life, we'll never be able to ask Sheikh Didat about, you know, the behind the scenes information. Like, I mean, how did that debate come about? How was it arranged? What was the mood like? What was the atmosphere like? I don't think I'll ever have the chance to ask Jimmy Swaggart. He might not want to remember the debate. I don't know.
He does not want to remember the debate.
Right.
Just
so,
for the record, before you ask your question,
yes.
I want to let you know
please
that beforehand, both Ahmed Didat and Jimmy Swaggart agreed that they each could publicize the event.
Mm.
When it was over, Jimmy Swaggart didn't want it to go out.
Is that right? Yeah,
oh, yeah.
It's not surprising.
So you can imagine why.
It would be great if you just shared with the audience. Because the funny thing is, you know, at the time I didn't know who you were in 1986, 1987 when I saw the video debate. And then years later when I rewatched it on YouTube, even then I had to look at you twice and I thought, that's Imam Siraj Wahaj.
You know how many people don't know that's me? I asked them, have you ever seen the debate between Ahmed Didat and Jimmy Swaggart? They said, yeah.
Of course, yeah.
I said, who was the moderator? They said, you know, I don't know. I said, yes, you do. They said, no, I don't know. I said, yes, you do. They said, you? I said, yes.
Imam, it's because it was the first and last time that we saw you in the tie and the suit. So it had the Clark Kent Superman effect. Like, you should be able to recognize the man. Why shouldn't you, logically? But the tie and suit, it's like the Clark Kent glasses and Superman.
Where did that suit come from? Ahmed Didat, Rahimallah, thought that would be better than to have, rather than having a traditional Islamic dress, to have more neutral look.
Neutral look, yes.
So we bought that suit. I wore it just for him. I hadn't worn a suit in years.
Where's that suit now?
In my closet.
Okay.
You want me to
put it up on eBay. I'm telling you, someone will buy that.
I'm sure they would.
Yeah. That's another fundraising idea right there.
It's an excellent idea.
Yes. So, Sheikh, what led to your involvement in that debate? How did it come about? Who contacted you?
I got a visit in my house in Brooklyn. Can you imagine who knocked at my door? Take a guess.
Sheikh Ahmed Didat?
Ahmed Didat.
Wow.
He came to my house for dinner, and he was actually going to stay with us, him and his son Yusuf. And he told me about what he wanted to do, and he wanted me to do it. He wanted me to moderate it. He thought I would be the best person to do it. And, of course, I did. Ahmed Didat was a great inspiration for me. When I first heard him, I was amazed. A powerful speaker.
Hmm.
Very powerful man. A man full of confidence. You know, the first time when Ahmed Didat would debate the Christians, we didn't have the right idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like most Muslims, like, we went to go see Ahmed Didat beat up the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the right spirit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But that's the way it was. We respected him. And at that time, you know, people, evangelists, would criticize the Muslims. And so Ahmed Didat would be the one to defend the Muslims, and
yes.
And that's where it began. So he asked me to come to Louisiana, and I did, and that wasn't the only debate that I moderated.
For Sheikh Ahmed Dida?
For Sheikh Ahmed Dida,
But were the others videotaped or televised?
It was. It was videotaped. I'll try to get it for you, but it's somewhere in California. We had he had a debate with a well-known evangelist. I can't remember his name.
Excellent. And what was the mood and atmosphere like? Because I imagine being a Muslim at the time thinking, no way our Sheikh is going to debate Jimmy Swaggart. I mean, it's such a high profile thing. What was the mood like during, after? Was it kind of a celebratory mood perhaps afterwards?
It was, you know, Ahmed Didat had gotten a reputation as a man of great confidence. See, what he did is instilled into the Muslims confidence. Mm. Here's a man who knew the Bible.
Yes.
And can feel the objections from their own book. So when Ahmed Didat came, it was like anticipation. He it's gonna be this great debate. And it was. Afterwards, you talk about celebration. There was celebration throughout the country because this man, Ahmed Didat, was our champ. He was our Muhammad Ali in the debate.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And just a side question that triggered in my mind from there is, as you said, you know, there's a way of talking to people of other faiths and debates and so forth. But even today in 2020, with all the Islamophobia that exists, and especially in the U.S., you know, is there still a role for, you know, bad cop, good cop, bad cop? Is that dynamic, do you think, a good one?
Over the years, and I've had this discussion with Ahmed Didat, I think we would do it differently now. There's no more bashing, but sharing. More like Dr. Jamal Bedawi.
Right.
He doesn't try to get your opponent down and beat on him. So it's a different style. It's a different time.
Right.
And during that time, there was really a lot of criticism against Islam, but in a very harsh way. Hmm. So I think Ahmed Didat met that, right? But I think now we would do it differently.
Right.
It's not trying to knock out your opponent.
No.
Maybe there was some of that then.
Yes.
Ahmed Didat was a tough guy, you know.
Yes.
He was a tough guy.
Yeah. And I think that breathed a lot of confidence, though, into Muslim youth
it
as
does.
Well, too, yes. And just a final question on behalf of the viewers would be, why don't you start your own vlog, you know, which is, you know, making videos that get uploaded once a week or every couple of weeks to YouTube. People would love to know where you're at, what you're doing.
You're right. But I'm a low-key person, believe it or not. I only speak publicly because people make me. I'm a little guy, man. You know what I'm saying? So I don't try to get a following. I don't try to make people, you know, watch me, look at me. You know, I used to play basketball.
I'm feeling bad now.
Maybe I should end my YouTube channel.
Yes.
Let me tell you something,
Yes.
It's a difference, right?
Yes.
I played basketball for my college at New York University.
Yes.
That was pretty good. I was a great shooter, outside shooter, and a tremendous defender. We're different from the folks now. Today, college and NBA, they score a basket and they're celebration and they look at me and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We never did that.
Right.
When I scored the basket, I'm supposed to score a basket.
Yes.
And after I scored the basket, I ran and played defense.
Yes.
No celebrations.
Yes.
That's the way I am. I'm like low key.
Yes.
I really am. Low key. If people ask me, Imam, we want to do a video of you, I do it. But I don't, my secretary is good, may Allah bless her.
Yes.
She makes me do this stuff now.
Yes.
She even records the khutbahs and stuff, and I have meetings with very important people in the city. She comes and she tapes it and she posts and stuff like that.
Yes.
I'm like maybe still in the 20th century.
No, I think that's very wise and mature advice that everyone, including myself, has to hear, but especially a lot of the youth on social media. Look at me, this is what I ate for dessert,
you know,
Facebook.
I think that's too much, but I think there's good in sharing things of value.
Yes.
You know, and we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would benefit the people. If we do something like that, then may Allah benefit us.
Amen.
I'm not saying that I won't do it in the future. Allah knows best.
Yes.
But I'm not inclined to do it. I don't like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, which is a good quality.
Because you asked me to do it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I'm only here right now because you asked me to be here.
That's right. That's right. And on that note, Jazakallah khair for your time. You've been very generous and very gracious with your time. And I appreciate it very much. May Allah bless you and your family always, your
Thank
progeny
you so
always until the day of judgment. And kindly remember us in your du'as as well too, because the prayer of the traveler is always accepted. And
Thank you. My pleasure, Sadat. May Allah bless you and your family and the work you do.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Imam. I really appreciate it.